Hanging Out with Clement on 702. Let's walk the talk.
Okay, time for the Hanging Out feature. And today I'm hanging out with a soccer legend, one of the country's ever greatest football stars. He's not only a sporting icon here on home soil, but also abroad. He's known for his talent. He's known for his warm personality. I now know him for his very strong handshake. I've never ever had anybody who shakes your hand as strong as he does. His name is Lucas Radebe and he's joining us in studio. Thank you so much for making time.
No, thank you. Thank you, Clement. And thanks for having me. What a nice studio you have here, eh?
Everybody comments about our studios, eh? You've been to the old ones? Have you been to the old 702, 947 studios? Yeah, this is our new home. We've been here since July last year.
Absolutely brilliant. A nice working room.
It's a nice working environment. Yeah, sure. You should check out the restaurant. Oh, yeah. My God. Now, that is something else.
Is that why you guys excel so much?
Yeah.
That's absolutely brilliant.
So, I never know where to start a conversation when I talk to a legendary person like you. Like, do we start in the beginning? Do we start where things are? But I think I'll start at the beginning. In Soweto, growing up in Diepkloof?
Yeah.
How was your childhood like? Were you that popular young boy who was playing soccer and was good? Or were you a guy that just wanted to be a doctor? And soccer just happened?
Yeah, actually, Clement, let me say good morning to your listeners. You know? And I've come from a family of... with a sporting background. Mm-hmm. You know, when my dad used to tell me that he was a boxer, never saw even one picture of him. But that's what...
Not lame.
But yeah, I'm not lame. But with his stature, you know, he looked like a boxer. You know, he's got a big, you know, hand. And,
yeah.
But they never saw a picture. But my brothers and my uncles got pictures to prove. So, which was... I accepted that. And to be honest, we grew up where our parents were guiding us, you know, during apartheid, you know, those days where we're getting up to no good.
Yeah.
And then just football was just a hobby. You know, something that we do after school when we don't, or maybe when we're banking school, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, when the violence started during the 80s, it was a big concern for my parents, because as parents, you want, especially in a big family that I come from.
You guys are 11 children, eh?
Yes.
Sure.
So imagine if you count my parents as well, so you got a football team with a reserve, so which is good.
How big was the house?
It was a four-room house. It was a four-room house until I played for Kaizer Chiefs, and then at least
you managed to extend
it a little bit. I want to have a nice senior. But till then, it was a bit of a struggle. But I believe, Jorge, that set me up for the future that I was about to have.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? In terms of competition, being in a team, in a team structure, you know, playing sport. And facing the challenges that I have faced in my career.
Yeah. What kind of challenges are those?
Sometimes when... you guys, let me say,
yes,
look at us from a distance.
Yeah,
it looks like we're living like a
perfect
life.
Fancy cars.
Do you know what I mean?
Popular
traveling and stuff. But to be honest, we are affected by things that a normal person are affected by. Yeah. Not that we're abnormal, but you know, things like bereavements. You know what I mean? Family bereavements, bad injuries. You know that threatened to cut your career, you know, were short. And I've gone through all that, which I believe that for me, football was a calling.
Mm. That's incredible.
It wasn't just to play sport, but I think it was a calling, you know, that I have to be in the game. You know, just to have an impact and do it in a different way that I can inspire.
Do you think you've been able to do that? That impact throughout your career?
I'm still doing that. I'm still doing that. You know, you cannot stop. I believe that there's always a reason, you know, why I'm where I am because I'm the only one in the family of all those 11 siblings, you know, that have gone through as far as I have in my career. And it's been interesting that as much as my parents wanted me to be a doctor and stuff and grow up partly, because most of the people didn't realize that I'm a Sowetan. They thought when I came to join Kaizer Chiefs, I was from Bophuthatswana, Lehurut. So that's where I went to school when the riots started, when the violence started in our community, and having taken a bullet in my on my back. So, so things turned out in the way that I didn't expect.
Yeah,
you know, and when I got that opportunity to play football at the highest levels, was incredible.
How did your parents take that? So when you meet Patrick, and you get recruited to join Kaizer Chiefs, wasn't it difficult to convince them to allow you to do this?
Yeah, it was difficult because always, you know, with the mothers, but no charity, because my dad was always away on business.
Yeah,
you know, he was transporting goods and people from Northwest, Rustenburg. So he was never there.
Yeah.
So my parents looked after my mother, looked after us.
So how many boys was it out of the 11?
Six boys.
Oh, your mom had so much work.
And not just that. We all from the same parents. Nobody from outside, which is incredible. Which is this nowadays it's very rare. But
yeah,
you know. But what we've learned all together, you know, the camaraderie we had, you know, the togetherness was absolutely brilliant, you know.
Yeah. How was it playing in a transitioning South Africa? Because things were different at the time.
Yeah, indeed. I think, you know, when we started, obviously, you know, having played for ICL Bates first in Bophuthatswana, it was a startup for me, you know, where I was just playing football just to keep busy. You know, from Soweto to Kolohurutera, you know, what do you do? You know, so I played the game and I started in goals. That's why I started in as a goalkeeper and then Chiefs recruited me in 1990.
Yeah.
You know, and then come back to Kaizer Chiefs. I mean, it wasn't really professional. You can't say it was professional because we're training from 4 till 6.
Yeah.
And some of the guys, obviously, they had to work in the morning. You know, some of them were at school. So that's what was happening then. But the transition to professional football was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think of Kaizer Chiefs now? Because your dry season. When you look at Kaizer Chiefs today, what goes through your mind? How do you think it's changed from when you played for the club?
Sure. Yeah, I just wanna. It's sad to see that the club that had enjoyed glory in the past years, you know, with if you look at the trophy cabinet in that team at Naturena, it's full of trophies. I mean, I know we've set a standard for ourselves. You know, we were winning titles, trophies, and to see what they're going through now. I mean, such a big club. It's sad and disappointing, but I still have that belief that, I mean, the name Kaizer Chiefs will always be there, and it's a household name. So it has to be represented accordingly in the field of play. So because of what's going on at the moment, I believe, you know, every big club goes through that, and once they hit that deep, it's very difficult to come up, but until they do, you know, because it's all about sustaining the success, you know, that they have. But if they go in the deep, by now they should have been back.
But they're not.
And how long has it been since, you know, we celebrate Kaizer Chiefs? You know, it's a long time, which for me, I think it will come. You know, it will come with the management. It will come with the coaches. It will come and with the players. But it will take a bit of time looking at what is happening at the club now.
011-883-0702. That's the number to dial if you want to chat to Lucas Radebe. Maybe you have a question. Maybe you want to reminisce about something from the past. The WhatsApp line is 072-702-1702. We've got a few songs that you sent that are your favorite. I mean, Luther Vandross, John Legend. You're that kind of a guy, eh? Sunday, what?
You know what I mean? You know, you must realize that we love music. Music inspires us as well. You know, when we off the field of play, when we want just to relax, we just want to listen
to music.
Not just music, good music.
Did you listen to Legend, John Legend a lot?
Oh, yeah. I mean, some of the songs, especially the John Legend songs, you know, they remind me of what I've gone through sometimes in life. You know, those are the songs that reminds me of, you know, they're very, very, what is the word? You know, I didn't just choose them. Yeah. They mean something, you know, to me, which...
Speak to your soul.
Speak to my soul.
Better days to come. I pray that I would see the sun, 'cause life is so burdensome when every day is a rainy one. But suddenly there's no more clouds, and I believe without a doubt that heaven sent an angel down, and then she turned my life around. And you know and I know, friends come, friends go, storms rise and winds blow. Another place. There's no more war. I just love the grace. Maybe you restore my faith. I know this struggle's not in vain. You know and I know. Through all the battles, back at the is round. There's one thing I know for sure. It's cold outside. There's no need to worry.
Can you sing?
Yeah, I sing in the shower.
So you can sing. but you can dance. Lucas just taught me something now.
Yeah, it's the first time dancing with a guy, though.
Yeah, it was a good dance, though.
I like it.
We were dancing here. I'll post the video right now on Twitter and on Instagram. Go check it out. He's a really good dancer. Better than me. Let's go to your WhatsApp voice notes on 072-702-1702 and calls as well. Let's start with Madimecha, who's calling from Sandton. Good morning.
Hey, Madimecha, how is it?
Hi, Kimnati. So how are you?
Sharp. Well, man, you asked, good morning to the legend today as well.
Hi, Madimecha.
Yes. So I just wanted to follow up on Clement's question. With regards to what's happening now in our beloved club, what exactly the legend thinks is wrong and should be, how it can be corrected. Also, if he were to be called upon to take the coaching role, whether or not he'd be keen.
Yeah, I mean, regarding the coaching role, to be honest, I've never really been passionate about coaching. You know, I mean, this is one club that I'm passionate about, that I love. You know, they played a massive, massive role in my career.
Do you still support it, by the way?
Exactly. Yeah, but they say Amakhosi for life.
Amakhosi for life.
For life. Yeah. You know, and Yeah, there's a lot that I think that is
can be done.
Yeah, that can be done, and you know, especially in front of the naked eye, you don't really see much because the only thing we see is the players. But it's for me, it's collective. You know what I mean? So it starts from the management and filters.
Can I ask you a direct question? And if you think it's unfair, maybe let me know.
Yeah.
Do you think that there's too much interference? Because sometimes I feel like the management, the family, sometimes some are not allowing the management of the club to do its work. They interfere a lot.
To be honest, no, I've never really experienced that at the club, and I don't have that. I wouldn't say that there's a lot of interference because I believe that this is a club that brings great coaches, and they let them do what they're capable of, you know. But to see the change of coaches, you know, and the playing staff, you know, it's not. To be honest, I've never been impressed because, you know, with the change of coaches, you know, you never get stability.
Yeah.
You know,
but football is also about results. What's the point of keeping a coach if they're not bringing in the trophies? They're not winning the games.
You got to get that click. You know, you have to have the coach or the personnel that right for the club. I'm not just talking about the team, but I'm talking about throughout the structure of the club.
The whole value chain, yeah.
Yeah, you know, before we used to have people like the Pule Esintolengo who used to scout as well for the club. We were absolutely legends for the club, and they were involved with the team. You know, those had the eye for talent. You know, for now it's difficult because there's agents, there's, you know, there's all sorts, you know, that can influence the game.
Yeah, Sipho in Soweto, good morning.
Good morning, and how are you?
Hey, Tara.
Yeah, I just want to say that the gentleman that you're sitting there with, what a humble person he is. I own a restaurant, Villagers Street. He knows me very well. My name is Sipho. He comes in, you know, he's not big-headed. He spends hours and hours. I'm saying, Lucas, thank you for the support, for coming back to the township and supporting our businesses. And, Clement, I can't wait to see Lucas becoming the president of South African Football Association very soon.
We are start that campaign now.
I see, boy,
but I really appreciate my brother. No. Your humbleness. You know, you come in, you eat, you go. You never want to be seen as you know, to be recognized as a superstar. You just come in and as a normal patron. Coming to support. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you so much, Sipho. Yeah. Would you consider running though for SAFA?
Do you know? I've always said, you know, football has done great. South African Football Association have done absolutely fantastic. But you know, for me to get to where I was in my career and to be back and to be who I am today, they played a big role. And for me, that I think it's fitting that I want to come back and say thank you, but in a way that I can contribute towards our football.
And that's one of the ways.
That's one of the ways. I know there's a lot about the positions. Guys, I'm not about position. You know, I want to be able to contribute in the beautiful game and see our game back to the glory days that we used to. Especially, you know, the 96 day.
I mean, you guys gave us the win. Since then, for dry.
I know, It's very hard, man. It's very difficult to see and to accept what is happening because I'm a big part of it.
Yeah.
Even if I'm not in the structures of football in the country, but I feel the responsibility, you know, of the success of our national team. And I'm always disappointed when we don't get results.
How did you feel about their recent performance at AFCON now?
I think they're absolutely fantastic. And I think for me, you know, each and every one of them gave their best. And I think they've realized, you know, the responsibility they've taken upon that, you know, immaculately. And they gave us joy, you know. You know, it was for a long time we've never been so joyful and
celebrating. For the longest time, they gave us heart palpitations and heart attacks and stress and depression.
Indeed. But I think, you know, everything comes and turns around.
Do you think they'll be able to sustain this?
That's a big question. Because for me, it's not about playing well and getting results, but it's playing well and being consistent in playing good, because that bears results. You know, so for me, I think this was the beginning of great things to come, of back to our winning ways, and you know, and making South Africa proud.
Yeah, what do you think of my club? Hilly said Buffalo. Orlando Pirates.
I'm a Pagani, eh? I'm a Pagani. They say once a Pirates, always a Kaiser Chiefs.
Never. Hey, gang.
No, but they're very, very.
We've just not been consistent. But when we play, we commit, we do it.
But what I like about them is they bring all these youngsters
that
are really exciting. You know, and they remind me of those days when we still have. You know, cheaper, you know, with that kind of football, because that's what we need. You know, Maswangwani, you know, when I watch that boy, you know, I get so excited. And it's great to see them doing that, you know, and hopefully they can, because the problem is that they have to sustain, they have to be consistent in that.
That's it.
Do you know? And that, to be honest, it makes them the players that they are.
And your thoughts on the national squad, Sundowns? The breadwinners.
But you know what? For me, that's clever.
Yeah.
I think for me, that's clever from Hugo Broos, because, to be honest, going to face, you know, all those great names, you know, in Africa, because Africa Nations Cup now is bigger than anything else. Yeah. You know, I mean, especially compliments to great to our president of CAF, you know, Mr. Motsepe. He's really changed the face of CAF, and now seeing Gabuyelo representing South Africa in that level.
At that level, challenging Morocco like that.
Yeah, but that makes South Africa, the South African League, proud to know that. You know, we can challenge the world, you know, with the local team.
Yeah.
You know, it's brilliant. Absolutely.
Hanging out with Clement on 702. Let's walk the talk.
24 minutes before 11 o'clock. Lucas Radebe is hanging out with us on the Clement Magnatela show this morning. Someone asked on Twitter, number one, how do you get fit? How do you stay fit? How old are you now? You're turning, tomorrow is your birthday.
Tomorrow
actually.
Is my birthday, actually.
Oh, I should say for you. You are turning, how old are you tomorrow?
55. Yeah, 10
you
55
look
tomorrow.
Really good.
Oh, thank
you.
You
look 40, I mean, I would put you at 42.
Wow, no, thank you very much.
Do you run? How do you keep fit?
I would love to run, but I think it's all about, you know, the eating well. You know,
you eat well.
I try.
Yeah.
I try. You know, during my career, I've sacrificed a lot in terms of looking good, being fit. And I've enjoyed that. So I don't want to lose that. You know, especially with the genes that I've inherited from my parents. You know, so I just don't want to be one of those who become a role model and an icon saying, but not him. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I just always wanted to be an inspiration, you know, and not just as a footballer, but in person as well, you know, in the physique. And make sure that, you know, when I talk to those boys and girls and say, guys, you know, you need to be fit, you need to look like this, you know, and you know, it reflects back, you know, to me, which is brilliant.
Yes, yes. Let's go to the calls now. 011-883-0702. Max Maponyani has called in. Good morning.
Good morning,
this man. You know, that's my cousin, eh?
Cousin.
This is family.
How are you, bro, Max?
I'm well and you, Clement.
Good.
You know, on the subject of Kaizer, Lucas and I played at Kaizer Chiefs, so he found me at Kaizer Chiefs.
Yeah.
And then realized that we are cousins. And then we said, let's keep this a secret. And we kept it a secret throughout the
show. Oh, really?
Indeed.
Nobody knew about that.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like, oh, yeah, this is because you're your cousin. No, we didn't want those.
Yes.
But it's been very interesting to see his journey through. And the interesting thing is we speak a lot, he'll tell you, but we hardly talk football at all, eh?
Football
and family and other things.
Oh, okay. La gossip, Pavela.
There's a lot that's happening in these big families.
It's about finance by a young kind of a thing.
Yes, yes.
Look.
Yes,
Brahma. And good to hear your voice.
No, absolutely brilliant. This is the guy. When I first took Kaizer Chiefs, they took me in, you know, and made me comfortable at the club. I mean, he was revered as, I mean, still today, you know, one of the best strikers we've ever had.
Mm.
You know, I know one time he kicked me, but, you know, I'll forgive him for that. No, but we're family like that. Absolutely brilliant and respect and always appreciate, you know, what they've parted with in terms of the knowledge and being there for us in support, you know, even after the game, which is brilliant.
Amazing. Bro Max Maponyani, thank you so much for calling us. Let's go to the WhatsApps.
Hey, Clement, Mr. Khate, Bungani Baba. This is Theo from Tutuza. What a humble person, Clement, that you're sitting with. By the way, I knew, besides knowing him as Lucas Khateva, I also met him through Sbululu from Tutuza and Sonic Boys One when we were sitting in this office in Soweto. And I enjoyed his company. What a humble person. And we need him. His contribution can be, you know, can be very big in South African football, because you've seen he's been involved in the ground, on the grounds, what David won, Guatem, and Tutuza. He's been there in those tournaments. Keep it up, and we need him at the national level. Thank you very much, Clement.
Hi, Clement. You have a legend there. I grew up with this guy from Deep Blue. My name is also Lucas. This guy used to play with my twin brother. You know, he's just football all the way. I'm telling you, he played football from break time at school and during lunch. When you go back home, he will play football every day. These guys, they lived and, you know, breathed football.
Hi, Mr. Clement, this is TJ, and hi to the legend there, Mr. Lucas Khate. I just want to know what can be done there by SAFA just to make sure that they push and promote school soccer, because that's where most of the superstars we had in South Africa came from. What happened to school tournaments, provincial school tournaments? Because that's where all these players can be discovered. We can have one of the best leagues in the world if we can just get the players from the ground, not promoted by agents and stuff like that. That's why our soccer is declining every season. Can we go back to the roots? We need players from those schools. They're still young. They're still willing to learn. That's where most of these players come from. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. No. That's true. That's indeed. I think for me, that's very crucial. You know, we're going to have to start, you know, from the grassroots, through the schools, you know, and the township. Because I believe that there's a lot of talent out there, you know, that's waiting in the wings and, you know, to be developed, to be honest.
Mm.
I mean, for most of us who played in the 996 team, we played against each other at school, at the school's level. You know, the late shoes, the late doctor, the late, you know, we played against each other, you know, and that's where we all come from. And look at where we went. You know, and for me, I think development is key, you know, to our football. And we're going to have to go back to what made us great those days. And we have to go down you know, in the I'm, you know, that's what I'm passionate about. At the moment, with our foundation, the Itihatebe Foundation, we've got one of the tournaments because we want to bring back schools football, you know, in the township. And not only just to play football, you know, the challenges that we have, Kukas, you know, bring them, let unite the society, you know, bring them close together so that, you know, they can be inspired. You know, those aspiring footballers, they can as well see for themselves that they can do it as well, you know. And I believe that school and sports go together. CAF has put money into schools football. Let's see, you know, the results. So let the money goes to where it belongs, you know. And for me, I think that is a very, very crucial point. The clubs, local clubs, Kaizer Chiefs, Pirates, let's adopt. Let's go look into the township. Let's, when we say the derby, local derby, let's see, you know, let it be a real derby. But all in all, I think for me, that's one of the things that can really bring back our football and the passion of the game in our community.
All right, let's bring in some music and then we're going to go back to the calls. Mac, Neo, Pastor, Netisi, I see you guys. Here's one of Lucas's other favorite songs.
Back when I was a child, before life removed all the innocence, my father would lift me high and dance with my mother and me, and then spin me around till I fell asleep. Then up the stairs he would carry me, and I knew for sure I was loved. If I could get another chance, another walk, another dance with him, I'd play a song that would never ever end. How I'd love, love, love to dance with my father again. Ooh, ooh. When I and my mother would disagree, to get my way I would run from her to him. He'd make me laugh just to comfort me, yeah, yeah. Then finally make me do just what my mama said.
You're always dancing with your son on TikTok. Gwen on the WhatsApp line says, Clement, I think the TikTok challenges with Lucas's son are the ones that are keeping him fit.
Yeah.
I liked the one where he wanted Primo to give him the remote control. He walked up the stairs, leaving the remote in front of him. Please ask him about his TikTok career. Isn't that fun?
It's great fun, and didn't realize until he pulled me into it.
Yeah.
You know, because I've always wanted him to do well. You know, I always wanted him to play. He played the game, actually, up to the level of vets and stuff. But, you know, to see the passion that they've grown into him with the TikTok, it's absolutely
so
amazing.
Creative.
Very creative.
So funny.
And, you know, he's passionate about it in the way that he does his, he edits his own
videos.
And
amazing.
He's so, and he's always said to me, but, you know, let me make you famous. Get be close to me. I'll make you famous. He wants to make me famous. He makes me famous, and I'm like, hey, you must respect the contribution. Yeah. You know, different levels. Yeah. But different platforms.
Yeah.
You know?
No, you're calling us from Four Ways. Good morning.
Yeah. Good morning.
Hey, Tara.
I wanted to find out from Lucas. You know, having been to the UK for the first time, it was around about April. And it was very, very cold for me for the first time in 2005. I wanted to know from him, playing in the UK around winter, in particular December, what do you put in your boots for you not to be cold, that your feet can be able to sustain, you know, play the 90 minutes and all that thing? Thank you.
Yeah, no. Especially when you're in Leeds. Eh? It could be sunny somewhere else, but Leeds would be freezing cold, raining. But what I used to do, I used to mix deep heat, Levi's lean, and I'll put all over my body before the games. But you imagine, imagine this, playing a football game, and then it starts snowing. Seriously, it happened to me once, and then when was the game is on, it started snowing. And I couldn't see the ball. Because now it's heavy, snow is very heavy. I can't even speak. I can't even speak because my face is just frozen.
Yeah.
You know, and I remember going into the halftime, and then one of the physios looked at me and says, "Are you okay?" I said, "Yeah, I'm okay." He says, "He's never seen a black man look so white."
Yeah.
That's, that's how cold it was. It was.
Meg in Sentin, good morning.
Hey, how's it, guys? What a story, bro, Lucas. Yeah, look, Clement, in 2015, we got an opportunity to go and broadcast the Rugby World Cup in Europe. So we got to tour around Europe and all that stuff. And I remember telling the guys that, you know what, maybe let's just go and have a look and see what's happening at Leeds. My word, when we got there in that town, in that stadium, you would have thought that Lucas is actually the president or is the chairman of the club.
Oh, wow.
They really, 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 really value our brother there, and including Arendse. You remember the keeper as well that went that side? I was just so amazing, you know, just to see how important they really take our people from South Africa, how they value them. And they've got some statues there. They've got some pictures. I mean, they were even more excited to see us as South African. We're like, whoa, not, you know, we're here for rugby. Hey.
Yeah.
All those brothers. But then again, you know, we just got to celebrate these brothers while they're still alive. Thank you, Khotman. You've been really great. And, you know, we really make sure that we need to make sure that we celebrate you guys. You guys have done a lot for the country. And sometimes I wonder how important it is, especially this country, how they value you guys. You guys have done an amazing job. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Really amazing. Mac and Senton, thanks for the call.
Hanging out with Clement on 702. Let's walk the talk.
7 minutes before 11 o'clock, we're wrapping up our conversation on our hanging out feature this morning with Lucas Radebe. That call we took about you being in Europe and being appreciated there, did you get to a point at some point in your career where you felt you are more loved there than here?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I do. But I do sometimes understand, you know, because, I mean, they've been celebrating their own for the very long time. You know, Puma 1966 World Cup. And we just only embarked the international football recently, which is early 90s. So it's still early for them. I don't know. Maybe we still have to get the knowledge of how we celebrate our own. We need to start doing that. I think we're still young at it, but I think the time is now. And I do appreciate that, you know, the effort have been made.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it has to start again with what made us who we are. The our organization in football.
Yeah. Why did you come back? I mean, if you are so appreciated in Europe, I would have stayed. I mean, the quality of life, things are different there.
Yeah.
Why did you think you needed to come back home?
To be honest, I think I didn't really mean to come back home at that time. Only because of my wife's passing. I had to come back. And you know, with the tradition and the culture, just come in there and then go back again. So there was so much to do, and there was kids as well in the midst. They had to go to school. You know, the timing was a bit wrong. But again, it might have been a blessing in disguise that, you know, what I've always wanted to do in giving back and coming back and show appreciation of what football has done for us and the people, the support of our own people, you know, it's to come and plow back you know, give back the best way I can.
Yeah. How did you cope with that at the time? Because grief is such a difficult thing. It's not, it doesn't just happen in this month or in this year. It's
Clement, it's very tough. As I said earlier on, says, you know, as football players, people will think it's we live in our own world. No. It was the toughest thing I've ever encountered, you know, and that made me feel like I am human enough. You know, nothing else mattered. Whether it's football at the highest level, it didn't matter, you know, but what mattered is it's family. And I still stand by that. It's family first and football was second. And that's how it was, especially in the Premier League, you know, the respect of family life, you know, versus football, you know, it's unbelievable. So for me, it was one of the black spots, you know, in my life that I wouldn't wish anybody to go through that.
Yeah, let's go to Pastor Ngubeni now, who's calling us from Ekurhuleni. Pastor Ngubeni.
Always call you my chief. How are you?
Sure. The line is not good. The line is not good. I'm so sorry, Pastor Ngubeni. Let's take some voice notes.
Good morning, Clement. It's Velile Mkhohliso here in Johannesburg. I'm so happy, Clement, you brought us the legend today, Mr. Ru himself. Oh, my daughter. That's my all-time favorite player, Ulukas Radebe. Clement, I remember the gentleman, he is so humble. I was once working in another security company around Santin area where his child was attending a school, Owami. The guy, he will drop Owami and the other child at school in Crawford Schools, and he will come back to us, shake our hands as he shook yours this morning. And Clement, I'm very, very happy for the guy. He's so humble. I don't know. He is almost a Mandela career. He is like a Mandela. Thanks, Clement. Cheers, Bralu. Thank you, Tata. Away.
Tata.
Hi, Clement. Jabu speaking here. Lucas, you made us proud, buddy. We saw ourselves in you. And you represented us well on a global stage. Thank you so much. Thank you.
How do you feel so many years after retirement, people still feel this way about you?
It's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, I must have done something right in my career.
A lot of things
life,
right.
You know? But again, I think I've always appreciated life. You know, when white life is brought in, what life has taught us, you know, because we can all be different, coming from different backgrounds, but we are one in what we want to achieve. We want to live well. We want to be successful. And it's not my own success, because it's the people that makes me, that
True.
Made me success. They, you know, so I've always appreciated that. And that's how I look at life holistically.
Yeah, Lucas, thank you so much, man, for coming through. We really appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks. And
happy birthday for tomorrow.
Oh, yes, the big one. So,
the big one. Fifth, yeah, what are you doing?
You count backwards, you know, once you reach that.
How old are you now? You're 5 years old now. You start from scratch.
Yeah. But no. It's brilliant. I'll be with the thank family. You know, my wife, my lovely wife, my daughters, and Donna, you know, the kids, little Luke, Wami.
Yes.
You know, Kutluano there. It's, you know, it's I'm surrounded by love.
Amazing.
And tomorrow it's going to be absolutely brilliant. Not forgetting the boys at the foundation,
yes.
The Iti Khatebe Foundation.
Mm.
You know, that's in commemoration of my mother, who was a community builder. You know, because I thought we don't celebrate our mothers enough, especially us as professional footballers. So this is what my mother did, and I'm continuing the legacy.
Amazing.
You know, so which is brilliant.
Thank you so much, brother.
Thank you.
And
very
have a
much
good one.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor, brother.
Sure.